Gives me a great deal of joy to greet you in the words of St. Paul. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This day we gather to remember the timeless truth. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We assemble this day, 10 years after the day that everything in America changed. Within these 90 minutes which we will spend together, we will remember the very moments upon which two great towers collapsed. But 10 years later, we resoundingly stand to say, though towers collapse, Americans never collapse. Would you remain standing for the presentation of our national colors? Seated, please. What a joy it is to welcome you to Conyers First United Methodist Church, those of you who are with us in the sanctuary, and to many more who are worshiping with us in the Student Center by closed circuit television. This church stands with the noble men and women of this city, of this county, and this country, who choose as a calling to put their lives at risk every day on our behalf. I am very pleased that as a part of this service today, we have two of Rockdale County's finest servants who come to bring a word of greeting. Battalion Chief Joel Yoder and Lieutenant David Carter from Rockdale County Fire and Rescue. We welcome you both this morning.
Pentagon advised on channel one, please. I have Delta 35, Cruiser 34, and Delta 352. Report of the plane crash. Advise on 1M. What is time?
We just listened to a short clip of the airplane as it hit the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. at this time 10 years ago today. I'd like to thank you all from Rottdale County Public Safety for the efforts of all people who have brought us together here today. We gather together to remember the events of September 11th, 2001. We are not here today to bring back pain or anger, but we gather as Americans to show the world that we will not let evil works of those who hate us keep the United States of America from moving forward. We gather to let the families who lost loved ones know that the void from their loss is not forgotten. We gather to thank our military troops for being steadfast and staying with the job of hunting down these terrorist leaders. First, I'd like to let you know that I'm proud to be an American, born in the greatest country in the world. I'm proud to be a Christian and to live where I can freely express that and worship with others openly. I'm proud to have been raised right here in Rottdale County, Georgia, where I have proudly served the last 32 and a half years of my life as a member of the Rottdale County Fire and Rescue Department. Today, I ask that you allow me to share a small portion of my heart with you and try to explain what September 11th, 2001 has meant to me. This day would start like any other normal day. Firefighters would look in on little sleeping faces and softly whisper goodbye and I love you as they left home in a uniform for a 24-hour shift. Police officers would put on a holster and badge to see that the American laws were followed by those who live in the communities across this great land. Medics would prepare to start a shift of helping the sick and wounded. These are the people who provide life-saving treatment before we ever see a doctor in an emergency room. Everyday people would leave home for the last time, only to become a civilian casualty of these attacks, or a hero on an airplane headed for destruction. As I watched these events unfold on my TV, I felt that gut feeling firefighters feel as they enter a catastrophic situation. I watched those Fire Department New York firefighters doing their job as they ascended the towers to perform their duties. They were evacuating the civilians, searching for the trapped, and fighting fires as they continued to climb floor after floor, showing no fear, but just doing the job they were trained for. Then we saw the South Tower collapse with such force that we knew no one could have survived. We watched, though, as the crews in the North Tower continued doing their job. As I go back now and listen to the radio tapes of the operations in the North Tower, those firefighters kept moving forward. They had calm in their voice as they kept evacuating civilians, searching for the injured, and making attacks on the fires that they would come in contact with. They were making every effort to move upward. Then, as we watched in horror, we saw the North Tower come down. And once again, we knew no one inside would probably be able to survive such. By now, we knew also that many lives had been lost at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. and on Flight 93 that crashed in Somerset County, Pennsylvania. We still were not sure if the attacks were over yet. Through the events, it was amazing to hear and see how the victims of the tragedy helped each other. All of the sudden, race, religious beliefs, or nationality were not an issue as people walked together and worked to help one another through the dust and debris. Those who watched the towers fall from blocks away held each other and cried together. Even crime came to a standstill as the nation stood in shock and disbelief. This was the spirit of America, the land the older generations remembered from a time when neighbor was there to help neighbor, and family prayer was an important part to see each family through each day. This unity brought me back to a time of remembrance when I myself was just a young 5-year-old boy starting my first day of school. This was a time during the integration of school systems in the South, when little innocent black and white children started their life of education together. Not seeing color as an issue, I made my first friend. His name was Chester. He was black and I was white, but that didn't seem to affect us at all. As I moved my life forward and somewhat made it through school and into the fire service, I was promoted to the rank of lieutenant. And for my best friend from first grade, so did Chester. He also is a lieutenant with Rottdale County Fire and Rescue Department. This is the type of unity that I remember growing up. Many of you today understand the meaning of brotherhood. It's a group of athletes that belong to the same team, or a union of skilled workers who share pride in their chosen trade. To me, brotherhood is every American firefighter that trains to become the best at protecting life and property. On September 11th, 2001, the firefighters of America lost 343 brave brothers. We grieve for all life lost on that day, including those of the New York Police Department, the Port Authority, and the medics of New York. But we feel the pain of losing part of our family, even though we did not personally know each name and face of these Fire Department New York firefighters. Today, we're 10 years past the attacks on our country. Let's not forget that in these 10 years, many lives continue to be lost in the name of freedom. Our military went to work, as always, to assure the citizens of the United States of America we could live in peace and carry on our everyday lives as we always did. Each soldier has gone willingly to defend our country, often coming home only to request another tour of duty, to see that the mission of the United States Armed Forces is carried out. They leave moms and dads, wives and children, brothers and sisters, to carry out their sworn duty to serve our country. Many come home to tears of joy when they see their loved ones for the first time in months. Some come home with their bodies disfigured, missing arms and legs and suffering physical and emotional pain for the rest of their lives. Some come home in a flag-draped casket, only to receive the proper burial they deserve. I want to personally say thank you for each and every one, past, present, and future, that serves so we can have freedom in the United States of America. I ask you today not to forget the families who have lost loved ones during the events we gather to remember. And I encourage you to often find a quiet place and pray for God's comfort upon them. For these families, the pain will never completely go away. They remember every day that a part of their life is gone. During the days and weeks after 9/11, we as a country looked for help in a way to help those affected by this tragedy. The best way to show we stand united was to fly the American flag with the same pride we always had. From Ground Zero to the Pentagon to rural fence posts across the country, we showed the world that our country would fly our flag with pride. Our fire department, then and now, flies the American flag on the back of each apparatus to show that we will never forget. Many of you gave generously to our boot drive for the Fire Department of New York Willing Children's Fund. You would help heal our pain by stopping by the local fire station and pin red, white, and blue ribbons on us that you had made. You would stop us on the street just to say thank you for the job that we do. Today, I want to share one thing with you that really touched me personally. This was the support that children gave to us, that in their innocence, they probably didn't even know the impact it had on us. They sent cards to our station that they had made that money could never buy. They brought us cookies they helped Mom bake so we would know how much they appreciated what we do. They lifted us up in prayers that only God might have heard. And they inspired me to write a poem that I'd like to share with you today in closing, called Heroes. In the Bible, John 6, 4 through 13, tells us the story where Jesus used the lunch of a child to feed the multitude. Because of one child's 5 loaves and 2 fish, 5,000 people were fed through the power of Jesus Christ. Once again, as a result of September 11, 2001, Jesus has used children through his power to touch and heal the hearts of firefighters throughout our nation. Children hold a special place in the hearts of firefighters. Often children look up to firefighters as heroes. Children want to sit in the fire truck, wear the helmet, and squirt the hose lines. Often these times are a part of a child's life that are not quickly forgotten. The firefighter waves at little smiling faces as they ride down the street and see little children jump with excitement as the big red fire engine passes by. They even blow the horn and siren when the children signal for them to. A child can suffer a serious injury, and the firefighter that treats them will call the hospital for days afterwards to check on their condition. A child can die, and the biggest and bravest firefighter will find a quiet place and cry. Even his wife may not know the effect that certain calls have on him because he cannot understand them for himself. On September 11th, 2001, the children's heroes throughout the United States of America were crying. This was because of the loss of 343 of their brothers. They didn't know their names or faces, but that did not change the fact that they shared a brotherly love. They were gone forever. The heroes who came to the rescue of each grieving firefighter throughout this great country have been the innocent little children. They drew pictures, wrote letters, and brought cookies to the station. Even our own little children have brought us out of a state of sadness by unknowingly letting us kiss their little sleeping faces as we come home from another 24-hour shift at work. Once again, God has used children to show how great and mighty He is. Thank you.
Morning. This morning I'm going to explain the tradition of the tolling of the bell that we'll be tolling twice today during the service. We're also going to be playing some more of those short audio clips from live radio traffic from the Fire Department of New York. Some of it will be actually from inside the towers before and as they're collapsing. Long before we had the convenience of radios or even the rotary dial telephone, fire departments across our great nation used a telegraph to communicate. Using special codes to send the signals to the fire alarms coming from those familiar red pull stations or fire alarm boxes that's still on every street corner. They used that same telegraph when a firefighter was killed or fell, in public safety language, in the line of duty. The fire alarm office would tap out a special signal. This tapped out signal was similar to Morse code. It would consist of 5 measured dashes, then a pause, then 5 measured dashes, then a pause, then 5 more measured dashes. This came to be known as the tolling of the bell. It was broadcast over the telegraph fire alarm circuits to all the fire houses and stations in all the vicinity. This was done for the purpose of notification and as a sign of honor and respect for all the firefighters who had made the ultimate sacrifice in the service to their community, much like a 21-gun salute is used in the military or police services. This symbolism has become a time-honored fire service tradition and is repeated at each service of a fallen firefighter. Today, the telegraph has been replaced with more modern communication devices, But the bell is still used and passes this tradition on through history. John 15:13 tells us that greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We know that the man in the Bible is talking about is Jesus. He willingly gave his life for us so we could have eternal life. Throughout history, this verse has become a theme of the military and public safety personnel. They enter their tour of duty willing to serve, even if it means giving their life that an unknown friend or friends may live. Today, we will be tolling the bell twice. The first at 9:59, signifying the exact time the World Trade Center's South Tower collapsed. This is the first line of duty and civilian deaths from this particular tragedy. At 10:28, we'll again have the tolling of the bell to signify the loss of life due to the collapse of the North Tower. During these times of silence, we ask that you also reflect on those lives lost at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and the crash of United Airlines Flight 93 in Somerset County, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Thank you. 3, Cleveland. United 93, if you hear Cleveland Center, identify, please. United 1523, did you hear your company, did you hear some interference on the frequency here a couple of minutes ago, screaming?
Yes, I did, 797, and we couldn't tell what it was either.
Okay. United 93, Cleveland, if you hear the center, identify.
American
1060,
ditto on the other transmission.
American 1060, you heard that also?
Yes, sir, twice.
Roger, we heard that also, thanks. I just wanted to confirm it wasn't some interference.
Is that 956?
Director 956, go.
Oh, we're just answering your call. We did hear that yelling, too.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, we're just trying to figure out what's going on. Calling Cleveland Center, you're unreadable. Say again slowly. On board. And that was all you got out of it also?
Okay, affirmative.
93, go ahead.
That aircraft, he can't get a hold of. Has he turned to the east now?
He's just turned to the east also. United 93, you hear Cleveland Center. Okay, American 1060 and executive 956, we just lost a target on that aircraft.
For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth, but be glad and rejoice forever, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and the people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of crying and weeping will be heard no more.
By yourself, you are unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope is not easily snapped.
He has shown you, O man, what is good. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
This is my commandment. You love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than a man has laid down his life for his friend.
It's been 10 years now. Do you remember that day? I remember it very well. I was on my way to staff meeting at the church I was serving at the time in Midtown Atlanta, when I heard on the radio that the first tower had been struck. Immediately, we thought it was some kind of a freak airline accident from one of the great New York City airports. But then the second tower was struck, and we knew that there was something much more. Not soon after, my cell phone rang, and it was my friend Jimmy Barron. For a number of years, I had been broadcasting a message of hope on 99X radio, the Morning X, with Barnes, Leslie, and Jimmy. And all Jimmy said was, "How soon can you get here?" And I spent the rest of the day, 9/11, listening to callers sharing their incredible fear, disbelief, and anger. There were three television monitors in the studio, and we were the eyes, if you will, for those who were caught in traffic in Atlanta. Those same feelings still live inside of me. Fear, disbelief, anger. I wonder, do those feelings live inside of you? It's been 10 years now, and I wonder, for those of you who gather today who are believers, how much longer will we let those feelings shape our future? I believe God is calling us today on this 10th anniversary to begin to process through those feelings that we might have hope restored. My goal for today is that we can remember those who lost their lives and who gave their lives in New York City, in Pennsylvania, and in Washington, D.C. that we can pray for those who are willingly giving their lives for us today. So many in this congregation here and in the Student Center, nobly wearing the uniform of their chosen calling. That we can remember today there are tens of thousands of Americans in uniform who are deployed around the world waging peace in the midst of conflict. But my greatest hope today is that we can hear again the message that God brings to us through the Christmas angel, the message of peace on earth, goodwill toward all. Is it possible, is it even preferable that we embrace that message? It's easy to wage war. It's much harder to wage peace. And this morning, I'd like to ask God to give us a desire to wage peace in a world where there seems to be no peace. There's a chorus that I learned many years ago. Maybe you learned it. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Wouldn't this be a great day for that prayer to come true? Let us pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we bring to you in this great gathering so many conflicting emotions. Our hearts continue to hurt for those innocent who lost their lives in towers, in office buildings, on an airplane. We can hardly imagine what it would be like to lose a spouse or a child or a friend in such an abject act of terror. God, we pray for your perfect peace. God, we pray today for those marvelous members and first responders who gave of themselves so willingly to be a source of hope and help in the midst of such a disaster. We will never forget those who laid down their lives for fellow citizens. Lord, grant your peace. We pray for those today who have heard the call to serve, who are present in this place, in this city, and in this county, and throughout cities and counties in the United States of America, who, knowing the danger that they face, still willingly choose to offer themselves to rescue and to protect. God bless the members of Rockdale County Fire and Rescue, the police of the city of Conyers, the sheriff and the sheriff's department of Rockdale County, the emergency medical technicians, the 911 call center responders, and all who support these great servants of this great city and county. Lord, grant them your peace. We recognize today that lives are being lost in faraway places, in countries on the other side of the globe. Young men and women who nobly wear the uniform of the United States of America, who are giving their life's service to wage peace in a world that knows no peace. Oh God, bless them as they are away from us today, granting us security and peace. God, we pray that you would deal with our hearts today and where we have hatred for people who are different from us, that you would grant us compassion and insight. Where we are unresolved about other faith groups in the world and wonder why, in the name of God, they seem to be on the attack, oh God, grant us compassion and understanding. And may this church be a place where we willingly learn the language of those who are different, that we might meet them where they are and show them the hope that we have found in Jesus, Prince of Peace. Lord God, we ask that you would watch over this great nation and that you would instill in us the timeless principle of Jesus. Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Oh God, may that great verse mark our great citizens as we seek to serve and to love in your holy name. And so God, for this day we give thanks, and for these who have gathered we pray, and for those who are away from us we trust them to your care, and join our voices with hope and with courage to press on to the day when there shall be peace on earth and goodwill toward all. And we gather our voices together to pray in unity around the foot of the cross, the prayer that the Prince of Peace himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You have no idea how many people may have been in those buildings. We have no idea. This is a major communication center for this city, for this country. Many government offices in those towers. Amazing video as you're watching it now. It's not video, it's live. It's right before your very eyes.
The World Trade Center is gone, ladies and gentlemen.
Both buildings collapsing from apparent terrorist.
The other tower just collapsed. Ready to collapse.
Connecting to Manhattan.
Urgent. 289 to Manhattan. Urgent. The World Trade Center's collapsed. Building 2 has collapsed. Okay. Urgent.
Unicorn urgent case.
Everybody get out. We had a collapse at the second tower. Everybody's running from there. This is Earth.
Attention all units, we're receiving reports of number 1 and number 2 World Trade Center collapse. All units at the scene, receiving reports of number 1 and number 2 World Trade Center's both towers collapse.
Mobile Command Center to Manhattan,
Kate. Alright, Mobile Command Center, what chief do you have at your Mobile Command Center, Kate?
Negative on injuries, Kate. Right now we're all alone. The second building came down. I can't see. So we have no contact with anybody at this time, Kate.
Thank you. tall. They stood the ground and took the fall. To help their fellow
to say a special word of thanks to all who have come together today to represent this great church, this great city and county for this service this morning. The events of September 11, 2001 changed a lot of things. And one of the great things September 11th changed was the definition of the word hero. On that day, we claimed again what real heroes look like. Police officers, firemen and women, emergency medical technicians, and those who wear the uniform of the United States. First responders who ran into burning towers, knowing full well that they may not ever get out. And why did they go? For one single reason. They went because there were people who needed to be rescued. Shortly after 9/11, I remember world famous athletes, football players and baseball players, humbled by the sight, telling us that they are not the real heroes of American culture. And I remember that first Halloween of 2001, where I saw little boys and little girls wearing the uniforms of policemen and firemen and nurses and EMTs and military men and women. Some things good changed because of 9/11. And by that definition of seeking to rescue others, we might speak also of the rescue swimmers of the United States Coast Guard. 5 years ago, I remember, on live television, these members of the United States military hanging out of helicopters, reaching out to pick up desperate men and women off of rooftops. I remember swimmers plunging into the Gulf of Mexico to rescue one life. Some time ago, I saw a Discovery Channel documentary about these United States Coast Guard rescue swimmers and how they live out their motto, and I love this motto, so others may live. In one scene, a seasoned Coast Guard veteran is teaching a rookie class how important it is to live out the rescuer's commitment. It's all about grabbing the hand of the person who's about to die and making this promise: I won't let you go. Reaching out, grabbing on, giving a word of confidence: I will not let you go. And those four words strike a nerve in my heart. because I am looking for someone to make me that promise, someone who will not let me go, a first responder in my life. Now, regrettably, your life and my life are littered with a lot of people who promised they would not let us go, but they did. Maybe your parents didn't hold on to you as a little boy or girl the way you had hoped, and they let you go. Or a friend that you always thought would be there is not there anymore. A spouse that pledged faith to you at the altar, no longer around. Perhaps a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a best friend. What we know is that people change and people leave and people die and people are human. Years ago, I was touched by the title of a book that became a movie, and the title of the book is The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. The heart is a lonely hunter. And the truth of life, as I have discovered it, is that our hearts together are hunting for an anchor person. Someone to reach out the hand and grab a hold of us with confidence and say, I will not let you go. No matter what, no matter what the storms of life bring, no matter how you change, I will not let you go. And over the centuries, millions of men and women have grabbed on to one hand, one very special hand, and discovered that that's the hand of the great rescuer who will never let us go. I hope you brought your Bibles to church this morning. I expect the members of this great church to bring their Bibles. And if you did bring your Bible this morning, would you turn with me to the back of your toward the back of your New Testament to the marvelous book of Hebrews. Now, I thank the Lord that He not only created 66 books in the Bible, but He also created a table of content. And if you're unfamiliar with the book of Hebrews, it's worth looking it up. Penned by an unknown writer who speaks an eternal truth in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And in these two verses are quoted two timeless promises, one from the book of Deuteronomy way back in the beginning of the Old Testament, and the other from the book of Psalms, the song book, if you will, of the Hebrew people. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And in the context of that passage, we realize that's a promise made from the heart of God to you and me through the one who saw how tough life is, how desperately we struggle, how easily we begin to drown, and out of His great love for us, reaches down His hand and says, I will never let you go. Two verses down in Hebrews chapter 13, we find out who it is. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 8, simply says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Others may have failed to hang on to you, but Jesus will never fail to hang on to you. He says in John 6, verse 37, I will never turn anyone away who comes to me. And if he ever was going to turn his back on you and me, it would have been while he was hanging on the cross, enduring the punishment of our hell, taking the brokenness of our lives upon him. He could have left the cross, but he stayed for you and me to be the bridge, to cross the gap, to close the distance and say, I will never let you go. He who purchased you with his blood will not forsake you. He's paid the ultimate price for you. He's proven that he has the love that will not let you go. And on that first Easter Sunday morning, when he walked out of the tomb, he promised that he had the power to hold you and rescue you and be your light and salvation. But you have to reach out and take the rescuer's hand. Reach up. Reach out. Take his hand. Hear him say, I won't let you go. I wonder, has there ever been a time in your life when you reached out to Jesus? That you realized he was already reaching out to you? And like those who have been rescued by so many first responders in the midst of tragedy, reach out to him and find his grip, his grasp of grace, strong and powerful. Maybe you've been religious all of your life, gone to Sunday school and church and learned the words of the Christian faith, but you've never grabbed his hand personally and have the confidence of knowing that you are held in his mighty nail-pierced hand. He's reaching for you today. And I can think of no better day than the day we celebrate men and women who offer themselves as life rescuers to take the hand of the one who is the ultimate life rescuer, who is reaching out his hand to you right now. I don't know how long you'll have, how many days you'll have, how many more helicopters will fly over you and extend to you the opportunity to be saved. But wouldn't today be a great day? A chance that you have now? I can only imagine what it would have been like to be in one of those towers before it crashed and hear the strong voice of a responder say, come follow me, come on, I'll show you the way out, and finding the escape. I can only imagine being up to the roof line in floodwaters and on top of the roof, and the helicopter comes and the rescue swimmer extends the hand and says, come and follow me. I've experienced that in the person of Jesus. And if you'd like to experience his rescuing love yourself, tell him right now, right where you are. Because if you could hear him speak, I mean audibly speak, I believe you would hear him say to you, I won't let you go. It was just a few days after 9/11, and a young woman named Stacy Randall was inspired with words that went viral on the internet. They speak, I think, in a poetic form, this truth. Hear these words. You say you will never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, "Honey, I'm not going to make it, but it's okay. I'm ready to go." I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words and as she realized he really wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell on the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help for the very first time in her life. "I've been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years, I said. Of course I will show you the way home. Come, follow me." I was at the base of the building with the priest ministering to the injured and the devastated souls. I took him home to tend to his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes in every seat with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was everywhere. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face, I knew every name, though not all knew me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their very last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling them through the smoke and flames. "Come to me, this way, take my hand." Some had never heard my voice before. And a few chose for the final time to ignore me, but I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11th, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you. But someday your journey will end, and I will be there for you as well. Seek me while I may be found. Then at any moment, you will know you are ready to go. One of the great themes of this great church is the promise of change. The very reality that you and I can be changed from a life of darkness to light, of despair to hope, of brokenness to wholeness, of hate to forgiveness, of war-mongering to peace-making. It's the heart of the faith that I claim and I proclaim, and I've seen that change make a world of difference in the lives of so many. I wonder today, where do you need to change? Is it time to get over being mad with God about some broken place in your life? Is it time to get over the anger that you feel toward another person because, being only human, they did let you go? Is it time to confront and face and deal with the close-minded judgment and anger you feel for people who are different, particularly for people who are Muslim? Is it time to reach out and take the hand of the one who is reaching for you? I so appreciate the ministry of our chancel choir. I so appreciate the ministry of our worship team. Music speaks to me. And the great thing about this church is when the preacher's not very good, the music is always excellent. I thought surely somebody would say amen. Let me say it again. When the preacher's not so good, the music in traditional worship, the music in contemporary worship is always excellent. Amen. And as we prepare to conclude our service this morning, I'd like for you to listen to one of the anthems that really speaks to my heart. And then after this anthem, I'm going to give you an opportunity, with some quiet music playing, to have an opportunity for prayer and response. And then together, I hope you'll join me in the fellowship hall for a time of reception. And particularly thanking these men and women who wear the uniform. Here's the promise that I have discovered in Jesus Christ. I can and I am changed because He loves me. Listen to these words.
Thank you.
like for us to spend just a few quiet moments as the music continues to play softly. Inside your worship folder is a white connection card. It would mean a lot to me to know of your presence today, particularly if you're a guest. We'd simply like to say thank you for coming to be a part of this service today. And on the back is an opportunity for you to respond to what you've heard today. I would love to have the opportunity to share with you about what it means to lead a life that really has been changed. To help you know that you know that you know that you are firmly in the grip of God's amazing grace. And as the members of this great church know, I delight to reserve Tuesdays to pray for this congregation by name and by need. And on the bottom of the back of the card is an opportunity for you to share personal, confidential prayer requests. And we'll take just another minute or two if you would be so kind to complete your card. Then, because it's nobody's business, just take it and fold it over. And as you leave the sanctuary or the student center today, there will be ushers. Just drop it in the plate, and I will be honored to pray with and for you. As the music plays, I invite you to complete your connection card now. I invite you to arise for the benediction and then remain in place for the retiring of the colors. Following the retirement of the colors, we invite you to the fellowship hall for a moment of refreshment and fellowship. God, from the beginning of humankind, knew how easily we could become distracted and distressed and to get in trouble. And as early as the Old Testament book of Numbers, God reveals his heart to us. He speaks to Moses, to speak to Aaron, to speak to all the Levites. The Levites were the priestly class of the people of God, the preachers, if you will, and said, I want my people to be marked. I want to place my name on them. I want them to live every day knowing that they are chosen and are in the grip of grace. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24, 25, and 26, are the words, the blessing that God gives his ministers to pray over the people of God that they may know that they are marked. I invite you to receive now this benediction, these good words, and the marking, the seal, the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.